Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for April 20th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, dude?
Well, lots is going on, man.
As usual.
Yeah, I got to talk to a bunch of people this week, which was it was like a smorgasbord at QVC Marine Field. I got to say that slowly so I don't get it wrong again.
Yeah, did they promise not to change the name every year? Or is that in the contract they're going to change it every year?
No, they're going to keep it. It's been QVC for a while now. So, but anyway, I was out there and the Hawks were out there today. And I hadn't seen the Hawks since March when I was at Koshien to see Matsuzaka pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. I was catching up with people. Saw Dennis Sarfati and Jason Sandridge and Atsushi Torita, the conditioning coach, and talked to Kenji Otonari and blah, 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 blah. And it was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, so, it's funny that you mentioned Dennis Sarfati because he is the guest on the show. And I thank you again for doing the interview. And then we're going to discuss the Magic Dragons and the struggling Buffaloes and more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Well, Dennis Sarfati is, as I said, he's a gold member of our establishment.
Yeah, and you talked to him last November, so it seems like sometime this year that you talked to him, but it was after the Japan series, right after they had won, I think.
I think it was the day they won. It was the day they won before the game.
Before the game, okay, yeah.
The day when he said, "I don't go out and walk people," and then he loaded the bases with walks in game five of the Japan series. And I was going to mention that too. I was about to mention that. But I thought better not, because when we talked about a game he had the other night in Chiba, and so you'll hear that. Anyway, Dennis is always great, and he's always free with his thoughts, and he doesn't pull any punches. No matter how much I roll my eyes when he says something that doesn't sound right to me, he just keeps in there, and he's always civil, and he's a real gentleman. And we appreciate that. And so let's have a listen to Hawks closer Dennis Sarfati. Okay, our guest today on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is SoftBank Hawks closer Dennis Sarfati, which is we've stopped counting how many times you've been on the show. So
it's been a lot.
I think you get the gold card now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now the Hawks are, I think you guys are right in the middle of the pack this year, and everybody expected this to be a cakewalk, and it's not quite gone according to that plan so far.
Well, new manager. Some new coaches. I think everyone's got to get used to each other first.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we started out as good as everyone thought or as I thought we would.
Yeah.
But, I mean, early on, I'd rather struggle than late. So last year we were so good all year, and then the last month we stunk. So hopefully we turn it around and get hot as the season goes on and stay hot.
Of course, there's some consolation to being playing really well in the Japan series.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We did. We showed up for that series. We almost lost it against the Fighters, but we finished strong. A lot of guys were tired. It was a long year, especially for me. I know that's the most I've ever thrown. I think all in all, I threw in 74 games. So with the playoffs and the regular season, so it was a lot.
I think you're on track now to exceed that this year. Yeah. So what's up with that?
You win, you're in close games. I'm gonna have to pitch. So I'm not gonna complain. There's gonna be times where we blow teams out, but early on, it's been a lot. Last year was the same thing. I think I threw in maybe more in the beginning of the year at this point. So, I'm never really hurt. I always tell them I want the ball. So whenever we have the lead, I want to pitch.
Okay, now you have a new manager in Kimiyasu Kudo. What's the vibe, or what's the different attitude? Is there what's different? Because from the outside, we're just looking at the team, we can't tell.
I don't really know the difference. I mean, okay. Akiyama and him are such different managers.
Okay.
Kudo-san's more of a, cheer guys on and let's get some talk going and always about tomorrow if we lose. Keeps the spirits. Akiyama just expected us to win, and and he was kind of the quiet guy.
Uh-huh.
So it's two different manners. I think guys are starting to get used to it.
Okay.
I think it's different for a lot of these guys who had Akiyama their whole career.
Sure.
To see a new guy at the helm. So I think it's going to get better as the year goes on, and guys will start getting familiar with him. And and, you know, a little bit closer with him.
You think it's hard now? He's never managed or coached. He was just a player forever.
Yeah.
And is that a hard transition? I mean, when you're thinking, boy, this guy's never managed before, what's the first thing that runs through your mind?
I mean, I had lunch with him in early January in Arizona. He was out there. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I talked to him about, you know, first time as a manager. And he said, yeah, it's my first time as a manager, so let's do it together. But I'm sure there's a lot of difficult things go on. I mean, fans watch the game, and it's so slow-paced to them. But when you're in the middle of a game, when to pinch hit, when to take a reliever out, when to take a starter out, what double moves to make, you know, it's a lot more going on than what fans realize. You know, different sign, hit and run, bunt. So I'm sure he's learning as he goes. He's only going to learn as, you know, even more. It's only been the first month of the season, so he's going to continue to learn, and it's going to be a process.
Okay, you also got a couple of new pitching coaches this year with Yoshi and Sato. So how's that going?
Good. I mean, I liked our guys last year. I've never had a problem with any of my guys here in Japan. I do like Sato. I think he, you know, his career speaks for itself. He had a really good career. Yeah. Yoshi as well, and, you know, Yoshi being in the bullpen that speaks a little bit of English is nice for me. And then having Barrios in the bullpen this year. Last year I was the only American, or only foreigner. So, but you know, we have a good bullpen relationship, especially all those guys down there.
But I
like the two pitching coaches. I think they have a lot to offer. But like I said, last year's two guys were. I mean, we won the whole thing, so it's hard to when you start replacing coaches after you win it.
Wow. Okay. Now the team's kind of struggling a little. Well, I think the team struggled last year and the last couple of years. Everybody just expected the Hawks to come out and blow away the league, and it has yet to happen.
I think, like, as you watch the Giants, everyone expects the Giants to win every year of the league. And those guys are getting older. You know, Abe is not the same player he was when I first got here in 2011.
No, he's not.
And our guys are getting older, but, you know, we still got a lot of talent. And I think other teams are getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the Giants and Tigers in that league. And then this league, it was SoftBank and whoever else could keep up. And other teams are getting better. I mean, the Buffaloes have signed a lot of players. And I mean, look at, they're struggling. No one expected them to only have three or four wins at this point. I think Chiba's gotten a lot better with their, you know, their guys, and I think the Fighters have gotten better. So everyone's getting better, and it makes it a little bit even.
You know, the other night you came in for a save, and I'm switching around channels at the office, and I see all his bases. Oh, Dennis's base is loaded. It's a close game. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
And is that fun? I mean, are you thinking, like, this is fun, this is what I want to be, or are you thinking,
you know,
it's got to be easier than this?
I really had no emotion that night. It was kind of a weird setting. I didn't feel very strong. I was kind of tired going in, the long travel day. But you get into those situations, and if I blow it, I blow it. If I win it, I win it. It's the point where you can't think about each game like that.
Okay.
You just got to try and get outs, and, you know, two hits right back-to-back to start the inning off. You know, I threw three pitches. I got two guys on base, and, you know, I just got to do a better job mixing it up. Especially, I can't throw heaters. Everyone knows I'm going to throw a fastball.
Okay.
But then, you know, a couple of defensive plays. I pitched around one guy to load the bases because I like my matchup better against Kakunaka. And I was able to get out of it, you know, a good defensive play by Imamiya.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, those are good ones because you can't just have easy ones every time. You can't just go out there and go 1-2-3 because it's not the way baseball works.
No, it's not that easy.
And I think it's the way if you have 60 appearances, you know, 10 of them are going to be unreal, awesome. 10 of them are going to be you better pitch. And the other ones, you're going to have to make pitches and get guys out. So that's one of those days I didn't have good stuff, and I had to pitch my way out of it.
All right. Well, good luck the rest of the season. Hope everything stays healthy, and you guys do keep doing what you're able to do.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Dennis. I'll tell you, I can't appreciate it. So, you know, I can't appreciate it more because I'll tell you, Dennis was – I was doing – working on several stories at once in the press box, and I looked up and I see him out holding his water on the field, his little bottle of water after he's worked out, and he was waiting to go in and get something to eat before the game started, and he's standing around waiting for me. You know, I'm
awesome.
Going, it was awesome. Dennis is awesome. Okay, so I ran out. You know, I put everything down, my earphones down, and disconnected my iPhone from the computer and ran out to have a chat with Dennis. And so he's so gracious. And, of course, first thing I did was ask him about a bad game he had.
Nice. You really know how to endure yourself to the interview subject. You get them all warmed up and fluffy and –
warm and fuzzy.
Snuggly, and yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Dennis. I'll see you sometime this year. I'll be out at a park as soon as I can, but I thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was good. And so what did you Dennis is always up front and, you know, fastball approach. So what did you think?
He brings it all the time.
He pulls many punches. So what'd you get out of that?
Well, you know, he said a lot of stuff, but the thing that I'm shaking my head over is one comment in particular, and he made me go and look it up. He talked about the game, I think it was Friday, and you were saying that you were at the office and you were flipping channels. I was doing the same thing here, and I did notice that he had the bases loaded. I just like you, didn't know how they got that way, and I'm thinking, geez.
I saw a walk.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I flipped it on, and the bases were loaded already. And like I said, this was on Friday, and so he said, in the interview, he said, I felt better about the matchup against Kakunaka.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait a minute, man. This guy has been hitting the past three seasons. He's left-handed. You're a right-handed pitcher. What on earth would make you want to go after him with the bases loaded? So the first thing I thought, well, the two things I thought.
Okay.
One, who did he walk? And so I looked at the box score on TBS, and he walked Kazuya Fukuda.
Okay.
Another really good left-handed veteran hitter. You're the guy I really like, and we always talk
babe.
About how I like
him. We call him Babe.
And you call him Babe. All right. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, but still, you still got Katsuya Kakunaka. He's one of the best hitters in the PL. Why would you want to go after him? So I do have that book with the rosters, and it has the heat maps.
Okay.
And so I looked at the heat map, and Kakunaka's heat map is he's just got three areas that are red, and I think just about everybody's got center cut, thigh high is red, so I don't even count that. That's like the bingo card with the center already punched out.
Okay.
So that doesn't count. There are only two other sections that are red. One is thigh high on the inside corner,
which is everybody has pretty much,
and the other one is down and away.
Which is unusual.
Well, you know, down in the way, I could see him. He probably gets a lot of, like, backdoor sliders, or he gets curveball sliders from left-handers down in a way.
Sure, but they're people don't hit them very well. You know,
but
you
he
either
does.
Let,
he does.
Yeah, hey, that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's unusual. But most guys, low and away is a good place to be throwing stuff.
But everywhere else is about 200. So I just figured Dennis felt he could hit his spot with whatever was working that night, and he could get him out. And that's what he liked about it. Because you look at Fukuda's heat map, and they're like, if you discount the red one in the middle, there's three areas that he's stronger at. So I guess he felt like he could hit the spot against him. And that's what really stuck out for me. I mean, you know, the stuff about about Kudo, it was something I suspected, and I think I mentioned it last week about...
It sounded like talking about Kudo, because you said the same thing. He's like jumping around and cheering all the time.
Yeah. Well,
everybody's told me the same thing when I asked what's the difference. Is well, he jumps around a lot. He's kind of animated.
He's like a puppet. Do something good and he's jumping up and down. Do something bad and he's all slumped over. But yeah, I mean, that's something I suspected.
I just ignore the man behind the curtain.
There you go. I had suspected this because, I mean, like I said, I think you can see it, but I think with all these new managers, it's a process and getting used to what their preparation is, because everybody's going to do it differently and everyone's going to have a different approach. So I understood that. But I found it fascinating to know that they had lunch in Arizona. I was thinking, man, because at that gym, what's the name of that gym that in Arizona? The big
there's
one
a
that,
bunch of
well the one
bunch.
That Kudo used to go to.
I don't know the name of it Randy Johnson used to go. That's
exactly,
where
yeah. But he, you know, he's a spirited guy, and I wouldn't say he wears his emotions on his sleeve, but at least his emotions are an accessory. I mean, you know, they're somewhere out there and you can see him. What's that?
Well, Akiyama had emotions too. He had
angry
He had calm and he had disappointed.
Hashtag high heat.
Did that too? You know, he just gave, you know, he He never got two up. And he never got two down.
Disappointed. He'd be challenged to know which one was which.
No. You could see disappointed. It calm sometimes. He his eyes would be big and shiny, and disappointed would be like he'd be looking down. He'd be going, looking at the floor of the dugout, thinking, this is somebody coming to get angry or something.
Huh. Well, what was the thing that stood out for you?
Well, I think it was the coaches and talking about, what they're at. And I thought, it's interesting because, I guess talking to Kudo, in Arizona, we're going to go through this together. That was interesting to me. Because I've talked a lot with the training coach Atsushi Torita about dealing with Kudo, who's a fitness nut, as we've talked about in the past, and sort of that dynamic has always intrigued me since my Kyoto colleagues were writing stories about it during the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time talking about that, and so I was interested in about what Kudo has, and of course what Dennis said that was right on is that most of these guys, Akiyama has been their only manager. Not only has for some of them Akiyama been their only manager, he was their only manager, period, because for some of these guys they were on the farm team and then they came up and then Akiyama was their farm, went from being their farm manager to the first team manager.
Right.
So and Kudo's never done this before, and that's hard, and it's a different way. It's a very they're different types. It's really interesting. But as far as managing the game, how hard can it be? It's harder than I can imagine.
Yeah, I kind of probably don't I disagree with Dennis in that he thinks. I mean, he said fans, and I don't consider myself a fan.
You're not a fan, John. You're the fan.
Oh gosh,
you're the fan.
But if I'm watching a game and I'm trying to think along with everybody, the game never seems slow to me. It seems too fast. I always think, how can they have already made the decision on what they're going to throw and all that stuff? And I forget that they have these long pitchers meetings and the catchers and pitchers talk all the time, and they already have a train of thought.
Yeah, worrying about six.
Well, we have a game on right now while we're taping. It's late on Sunday night, and the Swallows and Bay Stars look like they want to play until midnight, and they have an hour to play one more inning. I think they're going to try.
Well, my buddy really got in for that one. He said, "Don't worry about the Swallows and Bay Stars. I'll take care of it." So I imagine Dave's at the office right now thinking, or they might have just written it off and said, "Don't worry about it. We'll just mail it in the morning."
yeah, that'd probably be. But I mean, if I'm watching one game and I'm concentrating on it, I don't worry about the other stuff. Yeah, it's so fast to me that I can't keep up. I can't. When I'm trying to go between pitches and figure, okay, they're going to be running on this one, and is he's not able to execute this pitch tonight. What are they going to try to do instead of going with their plan A? What's their plan B? And I keep thinking about all the other things, and they're throwing the ball too fast for me. I can't keep up. So and I can't believe how quickly they do it. So I mean, it might be the opposite for me, because I think the game goes really fast when you consider those things.
I'm with you on that. And it goes especially fast if I'm trying to write about it. I'm trying to what are you going to pay attention to on this next pitch? What catches your eye? And I'll be thinking, this guy might take off. Well, I want to look at his lead, or I want to see where or I'll focus on where the defense is playing, or I'll focus where the catcher is setting up. Or I sometimes have a plan, but my plan is to have no plan except just sort of pick whatever comes to mind. This is what I'm going to look at on this pitch,
right.
Which is fun and entertaining and maddening all at the same time. But yeah, do I think it goes? Is the game slow? I notice when the game is slow when the manager does too much.
Yeah, Mr. Okubo. Yeah, but I don't know if he answered your question about when you asked him. The bases are loaded and blah blah blah. Is this fun? I don't know that he answered the question.
But... No, I get the feeling was it wasn't fun. the body language, like, are you kidding me? Like, you got to be kidding me. So it wasn't fun. And he had told me, we talked about that before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I had a long travel day. Well, his travel day left the house at 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was the travel day and the practice and the game. And he'd pushed the previous 2 days. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't 2 days. I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday. I think they played in Kagoshima and Kumamoto or someplace.
Yeah, Kumamoto, yeah. Yes.
Right. So he pitched. He was really dragging. He was gassed. And then he's like going, I just give me the ball. I'm going to throw it as best I can and do my best. And, you know, let me rest.
Yeah. I mean, I like what he said. You know, if I get him out, I get him out. If I don't, I don't. But you can't let the situation overwhelm you.
Well, he wasn't. He was overwhelmed by being tired.
All right. But you know, either way, we're going to get out of here. Yeah. You know, we're either going to win and get out of here, or we're going to lose and get out of here. But we're not staying here all night. You know, I'm not going to, the situation isn't going to overwhelm me and make me freeze up.
You know, well, see, that's been the problem with the Hawks is they haven't scored a lot of runs.
Well, I wanted to get into that too. Yeah.
And that's why he said, you know, we're playing close games. And the other thing is, Igarashi's not there this year. Well, he is now, because I saw him today at QVC, and we had a brief chat after the game. He's wearing an ice bag, something, and are you even on the roster? And you got an ice bag on your arm? What were you throwing 100 pitches in the bullpen just for old time's sake or what? He says, no.
I was working on another knuckle curve.
he was working on something, but anyway.
Well, yeah, so, they have been suffering with from whatever is going around in both leagues in terms of run scoring, and they had it really bad over a 3-game stretch during which they didn't score, and that was the first time in 28 years that the Hawks had gone 3 games without scoring a run. And, of course, that was a couple weeks ago now. So that puts a lot more pressure on the pitching staff. And you know, I looked at Tadashi Setsu, and he got his head bashed in on Saturday, and they lost by a lot.
How is that news?
He just hasn't been impressive all season, and
he wasn't impressive last year until the Japan series or until the playoffs, I guess.
No, I mean I shouldn't say even impressive. He was very unimpressive. He was very okay. His pitches were flat. They didn't have any bite. They didn't have a lot of speed to them. They unless he's throwing that sinker or a changeup, they're not really even moving, and they're really easy to follow. And he's just struggling. You know, he's not getting guys out with this. I can't even see him getting farm guys out with the stuff that he's throwing. I mean, to be honest, he's lucky that they're playing good defense behind him, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, they do that, and I guess Hasegawa's out for the time. Yoshimura's out for the time being.
Right. Hasegawa went out. He got deactivated. He hurt a leg running to first base.
And Honda's gone. And of course, it's unusual for it to happen in so much numbers. But as I said, you know, the Hawks, you know, they've got so many guys on the farm team. You know, they just, you know, order a player by FedEx. Like, oh, I can play. And today it was Taisei Makihara, and he was the Western League batting champion. And I'd never seen him play. I just looked at his numbers, outstanding. And this guy, the player he reminds me most of is Yoshifumi Okada, and that he's a speed burner. And he beat out a kind of a routine grounder to short today.
Oh, yeah. I saw him do something similar the other day or at some point. Maybe it was today.
I think he only had one hit. Coming into today, one hit at the top level coming into today, and he had 3 today. Of course, he also got picked off first base, but by the catcher.
Yikes. So,
but he had a really good game, and he's a pretty good player. And the guy, one of the guy who went in and played when Yoshimura got hurt, is a Tsukada, and he's a pretty good hitter. I think he tied with his teammate for the Western League home run title last year. Mm-hmm. And then the guy they had playing second base in place of Honda was a Takata, who I kind of like. He's not he wouldn't be my first choice offhand, but I guess they like his defense. And I don't think Lee Tzu Chen's defense is all that great. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, defensively, they just brought up the B team is sort of like the B team's like the Marines.
In that
they're fast and speedy and they play good defense. You know, they lose their first choice guys and the second choice guys are pretty good. So there's just no stopping these guys. They're going to, you know, when eventually players like Lee DeHoe find their stroke and Matsuda gets his game going and...
Well, everybody gets into midseason form.
Or they all get healthy. I mean, right now it's basically Uchikawa's hitting and, whoever else happens to be hitting that day.
That day, exactly. And I wanted to talk about Lee for a little while, too, because he looked awful recently. His swing was slow. We talked about the fact that he sits on pitches anyway, so he was just guessing wrong on everything. I mean, he wasn't guessing. The guessing game, he was losing, you know. And then when he was making contact, because he wasn't really making good contact, when he was making contact, the ball wasn't going anywhere. I thought he was. I mean, he might as well have been up there with a wet towel snapping at the ball like they do in the showers in high school, because he had a better chance to hit the baseball.
Glad I didn't go to your high school.
He had a better chance of hitting the ball out of that infield with the towel. I mean, it was awful. His bat, it was soft. The bat was soft.
Today he was taking some big cuts. You know, he's progressed to taking bigger cuts. And he got pitch way out of the zone. And he just thought, well, you know, I'll take a hack at this. he didn't do anything else the whole game.
Right.
But, I think they're going to be really tough once they sort of get going. They've been stumbling around, and they're, in second place? And so.
Yeah, they moved up to second place today. They got their 10th win. So, I appreciate you doing the interview, and always love having Dennis on the show. And I like
the gold card.
I wish we could have Jason and Dennis on the show every week.
We'd like that. The only problem was Jason was starting today, and so I did talk to him after the game, but. But yeah, no. But Jason, being a reliever, he's always available. You know, he's always available. If I can pitch, I'm going to be there.
Oh, and Dennis.
Dennis. And he's like that with the podcast. Oh, I can talk. I'll be on.
Yeah, great guys.
Always ready.
Appreciate it, guys. All right. Well, let's talk about the Buffaloes now. The Works Buffaloes. You know, this is the worst start that I've ever seen them have, obviously. And you know what? It reminds me of the Cebu Lions last year. They had a similar start where they were just losing every day. And we couldn't figure that out, and it actually put them in a hole that they couldn't climb out of. And I think Oryx today, they won their third in a row, and they're 5-14. But at one point they were 2-14. Obviously, that's 10 games under 500, and they were 8.5 games out. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, man, it's really hard to climb out of a hole like this when you dig it this early and this deep. And every day the losses, the way they were losing, they got up and they lost. They got behind and they lost. They got even and they threw the ball around and lost. Or they'd walk guys or they couldn't catch it. I mean, they wrote the book on how to lose games without really trying.
Wow. That's harsh. And I don't know how much it is I think it's just sort of like an accident that happened. I don't see anything. You know, I look at things and I see, what has happened is, first of all, there were the injuries
in the bullpen really hurt him, I think, because
they have a very good bullpen.
Yeah, and last year they won. I don't remember the exact number, but it was 60 plus games they had won when they were leading after the seventh inning, and they had only lost two. And then at some point early on this season, I think it was this past week, they had lost 9 games in which they were leading at some point. And so, you know, that means the bullpen's playing a role in it, the starting pitching. And we know that ace Chihiro Kaneko, who had his elbow cleaned out in the offseason, it was supposed to be a minor procedure and blah, 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 and he's not there yet. He's not out there on the mound yet for them.
Yep.
So we know that that's a problem. And you know, I looked at Nakajima Hiroyuki Nakajima, who came back from the States this year, and you know, his swing's been tired. I think Bobby Valentine said something about Tadahito Iguchi's swing a long time ago that we can't really repeat on the show. But
yeah.
But that's the way Nakajima's swing has been. And they've been, I mean, I would say his swing has a hole, but the whole swing is a hole because he hasn't hit pitches inside. He hasn't hit pitches up, down,
and that's
slow, hard.
A hole, right? Not a hole. I'm not sure how we pronounce these.
Nice. Yes, you've been living outside of the United States for so long.
That's
you
right.
You even forgot how to pronounce your own name because they don't say it right here.
Well, that's right. In Japan, it would be awful.
But yes, it would be. Very nice. Yeah, I mean, you know, the injuries, Kishida, one of their relievers, was injured. Sato, their big setup guy, they probably overworked him trying to keep some of these leads, and they needed to send him down to get some R&R probably. But they made up an injury.
I don't know. I'm going to be really American and ignorant and say I think, you know, I sort of saw that coming when I saw that 316 pitch bullpen he did in spring training, and I looked and I see he's never thrown more than 55 pitches in a game in his career.
Sato, this is
Tatsuya Sato, correct? And yeah. I'm thinking, what the heck?
not the most intelligent maneuver, gentlemen.
Well, he said I was throwing about 80%. He wanted to get a feel, but who goes to the bullpen to throw 80% when you're not rehabbing? Well, maybe he does.
# high heat.
Okay. Anyway, I'll leave that. I don't know, but there's weird stuff going on. I mean, we often have that. I was mystified today, you know, with Ryota Igarashi having it. You know, it's like he's just coming back with a team, and I'm not certain he's actually on the active roster.
Mm-hmm.
Nice pack on his arm after a game in which he didn't pitch.
What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
What's up with this picture?
Well, what's up is the knowledge that I'm guessing the Hawks haven't changed their policy on grading pitchers by how many times giving better marks to pitchers who warm up a lot.
That's right. Yeah, maybe they haven't changed that policy that you mentioned. But, you know, I didn't trust the Oryx Buffaloes in the preseason. I only picked them to finish third. Anytime you have expectations, and even Dennis Sarfate said in his interview that he was surprised that they had gotten off to this struggling start. But it just seems that, you know, as a franchise, whenever there are expectations, they don't always match them or meet them. It seems since the Ichiro days, after, you know, since he's left even.
I'd say before that. Now I'll tell you, I wouldn't be surprised eventually, but I don't think this is happening yet, but there could be some division in there because of that. Oryx is always famous for being disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's almost the organizational culture is disorganization.
Yeah, and Yoshio Itoi was another problem because his bat seemed to be disorganized. It was
it looked good this weekend.
Yeah, the past three games and they've won three in a row, and
I think that's a big thing for them is that Itoi, you know, plays well. Shunta Goto, who I think is a terrific player, hasn't done anything this year. The shortstop has not played as well as he can. He hasn't played as well as we're used to. He's really good.
Yeah, he's really good. I think he's doing okay defensively considering Hirano is playing a lot of the time, but then sometimes it's somebody else, and I don't know what they're trying to do. I always talk about the plan with Oryx, and sometimes they don't have a plan, or in the past they didn't have a plan. I'd like to know the plan.
Yeah, I'm not certain they. I would think that's one thing that would suffer under the administration there. But I'll tell you one thing that occurred to me when we were talking about this is if your confidence level,
uh-huh,
your organizational confidence level is fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just bear with the pseudo psychology here for a second. And the guys you're depending on to be good. Now this year that was the slimmed down Takahiro Okada had a great spring and was killing everything.
Right.
Itoi. And of course,
he got deactivated recently too. Yeah.
And Kaneko coming back, and Nakajima, who hasn't played well, And you're thinking, well, these guys – oh, Tony Blanco, who's been on the farm team since after game four.
Injured leg, yeah.
You're thinking, well, can we do it without these guys? We made all these great additions, but are we good enough? And I guess that's sort of – you know, I can't say I have any idea what I'm talking about or there's any logic to what I'm talking about. But Oryx is always that kind of – you know, once one foot – approaching the banana peel. And that's when they're good. When they're bad, both feet are firmly planted on the banana peel.
Yeah.
And they've got good players, but you know they're riding for a fall.
Yeah.
But right now it's like, you know, just waiting for reasons to fail.
Yeah, I mean, it was like watching early on all the – because a lot of experts, the Japanese experts in the papers and everything, they picked them to win – the Pacific League or finish second, and I'm like, this has to be like watching your NCAA bracket, your hoops bracket blow up in like the first or second round, but you can't get rid of the dead carcass because it's still there and it's going to stay there the whole season. Because I mean, it's really hard to dig out of a hole like this to get back to playoff status.
And I don't think so. You know, on the other hand,
the only thing is, it's so early, it gives them an opportunity if they actually start playing well.
There is a lot of quality on that team, there is a lot of quality on that team.
But we're talking about, you know, coming back from getting knocked down out at the beginning of the race, and then you got to catch up to everybody. It makes it harder.
But it's a tough league, and I don't think you know, the fighters were the cat. I'm going to try not to use too many tired cliches. I got a tired cliche quota for today.
Okay.
So the fighters were smoking there for about a week and a half, and they took, you know, they just took the big lead, and now they're playing like everybody else. It's a really tough, as Dennis said, it's a really tough league this year, and I certainly agree with that. I think that's the other thing. Oryx added all these players, you know, they added guys who you know, Koyano's he's an okay player. He had a bad year. He's had a couple of bad years.
Well, I said
but
that.
But he's okay. Yeah.
What I said in my Pacific League prediction was that, look, they didn't add A-level players. They just added depth.
Well, I think Tony Blanco is an A-level player if he's healthy, which he usually isn't, unfortunately.
Well, then he can't be an A-level player if he's not on the field.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, and if he's not on the field, he's not. So they made all these adjustments, and they're going to these other teams that didn't, and they're playing better than us.
Yeah.
Something's listening wrong. So anyway, as usual, our story of the spring is things are not going according to Oryx's – well, according to our – Our hypothesis that Oryx does have a plan.
the alleged plan.
Yeah, the alleged plan. So we're assuming that this is the norm, actually. Yeah. It's unusual last year when things go well for Oryx because we're not used to it.
Right. And something else that we didn't expect was the Dragons in the Central League.
Right. Yeah, I picked them to finish third this year.
Oh, the Swallows win. The Swallows win. Walk off. And they got it done before midnight, 9-8.
The team I picked to finish second is doing well.
We both picked the team to finish second, the Swallows, I think.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember because this year we had so many people, I think. It's hard to keep track of who said what.
I remember who everybody picked first.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first shall be last.
And last, yeah. Last was easy to remember, too, in both leagues.
But the Carp, to be fair to the Carpies, they're actually playing better than the Tigers are.
Yeah, well, and that's what I predicted. But you know, it's long. We got a long way to go. But these Dragons, you know, I wanted to give them some props because I figured they'd be losing. Probably, I didn't know when, but I just figured the winning would stop, and it's probably going to stop soon. Obviously, when we made our predictions and all these, again, I like to read all the newspapers and all the. I watched as many TV shows as I could, and a lot of people just said, look, they don't have anything. They don't have anything that we can see that's championship quality or playoff quality in the rotation, in the lineup, maybe their defense, maybe the bullpen a little bit. But, you know, we're looking, we're searching, we don't see it. And three guys, Hector Luna, who has done nothing but rake since he got to Japan.
Which is, yeah, that's what he does.
And Anderson,
he does two things. He does two things. One, he's a great player. He's a great hitter. He's a good fielder. That's one great player. And the other thing is he gets hurt.
Yeah, yeah, he has gotten hurt again, and I think it was a wrist this time, and now he's been deactivated. But before that, he was hitting, and when he comes back, he'll hit. Anderson Hernandez has played some really good shortstop, quality shortstop form, and he has been hitting at an incredible rate.
Yep.
And then Ricardo Nanita, who hasn't played very much, doesn't have a lot of at-bats, but he played in outfield. I think that's the only place they can hide him because defensively he's kind of a liability.
Okay.
But he's been hitting.
He's had some big hits for them.
He has been hitting, and they've won a bunch of close games. It seems like every night. In fact, Michael Westbay, he emailed me this past week saying, do the Dragons try to play extra innings every night or something like that, something to that effect.
Trying to win a war of attrition against
it's pretty hard to win when you're not very good, but you're good enough to stay in close in a game. You know, you're not getting blown out.
But the Dragons, I do like the Dragons. There's a lot of things I like about, as I said, obviously in the spring, and I mentioned somewhere else I wrote that they have these old timers who are pretty good. I mean, now Moreno's gone. Okay, and here's the other thing. Although they're the oldest team in the Central League last year, whenever they weren't hurt, whenever somebody hurt, they did like the Hawks did. They just brought up a young guy.
Uh-huh.
And now this year, and this really – I wrote a blog about this because it really bugged me. Who's this guy Nobumasa Fukuda? Now I follow the minor league hitters every year. The minor league hitters and pitchers, who's doing really well. Mm-hmm. And I use a bunch of, you know, I search in my database and I'll use some, you know, search criteria. And it's usually like who's young and who's really good. Well, the problem was that when he was really good, when he was young, you know, that was several years ago.
Yeah, he's in his ninth year as a pro, I believe.
Yeah, he's 20, he's 26 or 27 right now. Or he's going to be 27 this year. But he was really good when he was 22 and 23. And you know what? They kept bringing him up, giving him a few at-bats and jumping him up and down. He never got quite a lot of at-bats. And you know, and one of the things I'll look for is guys who are good 2 years in a row because the number of minor league at-bats can be very limited. Well, he had a bad year in 2013. And until 2013, he didn't walk. And last year, it's almost like somebody said, you know, if you take four pitches outside the zone, they're going to push you on first base.
Hashtag.
He's like,
explain the rules to him. Huh?
Holy moly, I can do this. So he went from like one walk every 25 plate appearances to about one every eight. And so here we've got a guy who's a 300 hitter who used to, you know, he's a 300 hitter in the minors, and he used to have a 320 on base percentage. All of a sudden, he's got 400 on base percentages, and he could hit. He's not a big power hitter, but he hit for some power in the Western League, which is really, really hard to do. The Western League is full of these massive ballparks,
uh-huh.
And they're all at sea level, and the ball don't carry, and it's really tough. It's a tough place to earn a living as a hitter. And this guy could rake. And for some reason, he skipped past my radar like he was trying to avoid it.
It's the same radar the Dragons were using all the time.
I always expect that from the Dragons for them. There's a fleet of players in Japan who won Best Nine awards after being dismissed by the Dragons as useless. I mean, you know, sold for the bag of balls, for practice balls or something.
Right. Well, yeah, I did see your blog post and I read that and I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, I wrote about the 3D because these players, Luna and Hernandez and Nanita, they're all Dominican, so they're calling them 3D. Mm-hmm. And I was joking in my blog post that people weren't wearing their 3D glasses when they made their predictions, so they couldn't see how good the Dragons were. But I still don't think they're very good. This guy, I want to say kid because he's 37 years old, the lefty Raul Valdez, the Cuban guy, and they're pitching him on 4 days rest all the time. And he doesn't throw very hard, so I guess he can handle it at 37. And The rotation still, Yoshimi is going down to the minors, and then he's just coming up to make one start, and then he goes back down and gets deactivated.
He's made two starts now, hasn't he?
He has made two starts. He pitched really well in his second start. He went seven innings, no runs allowed. I don't think he got the win because, like Michael Westbay and I talked about, they like to play extra innings, and so the starters don't end up with wins all the time. Yudai Ohno pitched well the other night and saw his victory go for or potential victory get lost by the bullpen because they couldn't keep a runner that he put on. They couldn't keep him from scoring. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, they're exciting because they've won some games. Like, they're a good team. They made some bad plays in the field. They made some errors. They made some poor judgments, and they still came out of those games winning. And that's what good teams do. But I'm not going to be fooled, and I tweeted or I put it on the homepage, one or the other, that when they fall, they're going to fall hard because they don't have anybody in the rotation to really stop a long losing streak, and they don't have anybody in the bullpen who can quietly hold on to a lead, and it's not a good team. But it's good for them. I'm glad they're winning and not losing right away because that would really make for a long season with no excitement.
I would agree with you. I don't think. And I think Yoshimi is going to get better as the season goes on, and I think they're going to eventually just keep him up. But, yeah, I have to agree that the pitching is not as good as it could be. It's probably too far below average to be good. I like I actually do like the offense, and I like a lot of the guys. And I know Wada. We're definitely going to see Wada come back by the time Interleague plays, because if he's not healthy enough to play the outfield, he's just he was killing in the Western League as a DH. So he's basically – he can hit. I don't think he can play in the field yet. So, yeah. And they've got a – you know, they're actually right now very – they're not far from being like the good Dragons teams of the last decade when it was all
pitching and defense.
No, I wasn't going to say pitching at all. It was fielding, and it was defense and offense. They had great offenses. You just didn't know it because they played in Nagoya Dome, and the Nagoya Dome made their pitching look good. When it wasn't, you know, they didn't have really very good pitching. They had a couple. They had a good bullpen, and they had a couple of good starters. Right. And the rest of the guys were pretty much, you know, five and dime guys that they picked up on a, you know, on a fire sale somewhere.
Yeah. Well, good start for them. Like I said, when I look around, because you know, I'm not impressed with a lot of the lineups in the Central League anyway, but I think theirs actually isn't as bad as maybe some of the others. I still think it's probably deeper than, in some ways, than the Tigers, because that bottom third of their lineup is just iffy for me.
I shake my head with the Tigers, and I'll tell you why. Is because they have some solutions, but with the Tigers are... You know, as I've probably said this a dozen times on, you know, the Tigers, a number of people who've worked for the Tigers and have covered the Tigers have told me the Tigers can't have rebuilding years. They have to commit to plan A until somebody's hurt. You know, if Nishioka hadn't got hurt last year, nobody would know Uemoto's name.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, so, you know, they've got Hayata Ito, who's a terrific hitter. But they can't play him because basically he's a right fielder and Fukudome is there. So basically they have to wait for Fukudome to die of sunstroke or something. So that's what we're waiting for, to turn the Tigers around, an injury.
Well, it'll happen. And we don't know who. It might not be Fukudome, but maybe somebody else. Okay, a couple notes. Giants catcher Shinosuke Abe has a torn hamstring. Now, I'm not sure how badly it's torn, but that's going to impact this team because... they have to play the catcher they just said wasn't ready to play.
And you know what? He is ready to play.
Yeah, he seemed to be doing fine to me.
So you know, this is, to me, this is a huge development. And again, this is a huge step forward for the Giants.
Yeah, a step forward. It's not a step back. It is a step forward.
No, it isn't.
Your 36-year-old catcher who is supposed to play first base, who basically, I think they said all these bad things about Kobayashi, who's the guy, Seiji Kobayashi, who's now catching. I think they said all these bad things about him because Abe's defense at first base was so horrible they had to say something to put him back there.
Oh, okay. Well, I, you know, I
otherwise they couldn't justify it.
unfortunately, I don't have any pseudo-psychological analytics for that.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
I was prepared for the Giants to make excuses for why Kobayashi shouldn't be catching all this year when he was plan A to begin with.
Right.
But all of a sudden, Abe gets hurt, and he's thrust back into the spotlight as he was last year. And he did well, and he did well today. He had the big hit. When he first went behind the plate, there were a few rough edges again.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I think when he's the only one there, he's not – I don't know. Is he not looking over his shoulder? Is he decided – is everybody giving him the moral support? I think they always were. I think Har is good with that. But I think for some reason the team's philosophy suddenly changed from you're not good enough to – what you'll do.
Yeah, you're looking good there, son. Well, and I'm looking at this team, and you know, Tatsuhiko Kinjo is out there running around. They put Itaru Hashimoto in. He's batting the ball all over the place, and he's a good player.
He is a good player.
They're using guys like Hayato Takagi and Kazuto Taguchi on the mound, and those guys have pitched well. And this is a team it should be 5-6 games under 500, and you look up today, and I think they're 2 games over or a couple, 3 games over or something. They're not playing as well as they look,
but I'll tell you, the injuries.
They're a game over 500.
I didn't have high hopes for the Giants because they're like the Tigers. I didn't expect them to make changes. And, you know, this whole bit about playing Yoshinobu Takahashi in left field, and then it's Kinjo, and then it's, you know, whatever person held together with scotch tape and safety pins. You know, when you've got good guys, you've got guys who can actually play who are young and athletic, and you're not playing them. That's a terrible sign. I thought I was ready to write off the Giants season 2 weeks ago. They're going to be stubborn until they finish last.
Yeah.
So obviously, as soon as Hashimoto, who was having a red-hot smoking start last year, and he got hurt, and so we didn't see one of their best offensive players last year.
Yeah.
So it's coming up. So it's good. You know, it's bad luck for my sixth place prediction, but.
Oh, well. All right. The next note is on Kenny Ray of the Rakuten Eagles. And at 40 years and 4 months, he matched a milestone by becoming the first player at 40 years to win his first 3 starts in a season. And he matched the last player to do it, who is Choji Murata of Lotte, the Orions at that time in 1990. And he's the first import pitcher to do it.
Yeah.
So he's getting better with age.
We don't tend to see too many 40-year-old foreign pitchers in Japan.
No.
What a surprise! Why? It should be a shock to us.
Well, the way Valdez is pitching, it looks like he'll be able to do that for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. His target is to pass Masahiro Yamamoto, I think.
Well, yeah, he's just got to get on a team that can score because he's keeping the runs off the board. That's for sure.
All right.
And another note was player coach Satoshi Nakajima.
Yes.
Of the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters, he tied Kimiyasu Kudo's record for most years as an active player. And he caught the 9th inning when Michael Crotta was on the mound the other night, or last week, in a 7-2 win. So that was, I guess it's okay to bring guys in a 7-2 situation just to get 3 outs. Because, say 3 guys get on base, you're not going to take out the catcher, are you?
No. Well, he's got to remember... You know, you got to remember how the glove fits.
Well, he's a player coach,
of course, and he's still still our link to the past because he's the last current player to wear a uniform, wear the Hankyu Braves uniform.
Yes, I think we talked about that last year.
We talk about that every year. He's a living piece of history, Mr. Nakajima is.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this one came to us via Twitter, and it was from @NPV_Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T, and he asks, and I'm assuming it's a male, what is the largest deficit ever overcome in a victory? And so I looked it up. The record was last done in 1997. The Kintetsu Buffaloes came back from being down 10 runs after 2 innings. and they beat Lotte 11-10 in extra innings at Osaka Dome, you said?
Yes.
At Osaka Dome. Interesting, interesting. So then, and that was the third time it was, had been done in history. So yep. 10 is the answer. So even if a team, and I guess you don't think that that team was pretty good at the time, the Lotte Marines were not that great?
Nope.
So even if a team gets down against an average team or a mediocre team, you have that chance of coming back. So don't turn the team.
Well, here's the extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the three times it happened was 1949 and 1951. The previous two times, both of those years were huge offensive years. 1949 to 1951, the ball was flying.
Mm.
It was dangerous. It was dangerous to be an outfielder. You were taking your life in your own hands. Balls could strike you with amazing force.
So okay. Get off the infield for sure, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, get out of the outfield. Sit in the stands. It's safer. You know, and cover your face with a glove. Okay, 1997, we've also got the lively Mizuno ball, and the balls fly pretty good at Osaka Dome. So, yeah, but still. 1949, 51, and then 97. So I think right now, don't count on it.
All right. All right.
Ten runs are safe, baby.
All right. 10 runs are safe, especially
Where's
this
Yuki
year.
Saito? Where's Yuki Saito when you need him?
Oh, gosh.
Twist it.
I guess he's giving it up to everybody. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. Send your questions by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or tweet us at @JBW Podcast or leave us a note on the Facebook page, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks a lot for listening. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.